Podcast Viewfinder.
Join the IMF and see the world on a screen from a closet. Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Ben.
And this is Podcast Viewfinder, episode 22.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Wow, James, you and T-Swifty.
So
this week she won a lot of awards at the VMAs.
She's one of our biggest listeners.
Thanks, Taylor Swift, for listening.
I think she's excellent.
This is Podcast Viewfinder. We talk about worldview and the stuff going on in the world around us. A lot went on this week. Because the VMAs, when those happen, like, everything blows up, right?
Yep.
Because they're controversial, because it's MTV. And so, apparently there's some nudity. Miley Cyrus.
Why?
And I guess she was backstage smoking weed, like, the whole time. Like, it's interesting, like, just that it's culturally acceptable, right? Like, you're like, oh, yeah, it's just how...
Music.
It's how she
is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, or she's got...
Well, she's that way.
So
yeah, so we excuse her behavior.
Because that's just who she is.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, we didn't introduce Ben. So, Ben...
Oh, hey, Ben, where'd you come from?
He's a
fictional character.
This is the second time Ben's been on the podcast. The first time, he didn't talk at all.
Yeah, he just stared at us.
Said,
now you get to see him if you're watching via Ustream
at
Podcast Viewfinder.
No, what? Wait, you're just making up stuff.
I am.
That was denied. I don't know what that was. Okay. So we're live streaming.
I know what you're doing. You have so many windows open.
There we are.
Now. We have no viewers, so it doesn't even matter.
But you can be a viewer now if you get on.
That's not true, because this goes up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This isn't live. For some reason, I always forget that we're not live.
But the VMAs happened this week. I don't watch them, because it said, like, she changed outfits 11 times. Miley was the host. And because I read a review about it, and it said, like, each time it was, like, how much skin can you show?
And so she really just took off part of her one outfit.
Yeah, right. It started off as, like, sort of revealing, and then by the end, it's like, is she wearing... I don't even
She's
know.
She's not even wearing anything anymore.
But I guess she was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and, like, I don't even want to say what she was wearing, because it's so... It's like... She basically had her shirt open. Like, that was, like, and so...
Usually it's Lady Gaga who's got weird stuff on.
Yeah,
at least she's got stuff on, though.
But, okay, so why... Like, what... What's the point of this? So, Plugged In has a...
Being natural.
Yeah.
Born this way.
Oh, yeah. Plugged In is a website by Focus on the Family. They talk a lot about just stuff in our culture. And one of the things they were talking about was, like, how women are being overly sexualized at an even earlier age. Because this lady was talking about getting out of the modeling industry.
Yeah.
And she's like... Like, even as an underage person, they were asking her to, like, pose...
Provocatively
and stuff. And she's like, I didn't want to be a part of that. Like, that's not what... I got into modeling for it. She said it was not fulfilling. Like, it wasn't anything that was good in her life. And so I just find that interesting, right? That, like, that some people shy away from that. Some women are like, hey, this is, like, putting women in a bad light. And then you have people like Miley Cyrus. It's like, I'm going to go for it. Like,
that's all that attention you get.
Well, yeah.
So that's one way to seek attention.
So the celebrity. Because... Well, we talked about that, like, several episodes ago. I don't know how many now. But where Madonna said she always has to outdo herself, right?
Yes.
Because if she doesn't do better than what she did before. Ben, this week you watched America's Got Talent, because
yes, I did.
You to.
I did.
I love that show. James, are you a big AGT fan?
It's fake.
What do you mean it's fake?
I'll watch a few performances, but you know what? I'm not giving in to the system, all right?
Wait, what's fake about it? Wait, so Ben, you watched what?
Well, I watched The Regurgitators.
Yes!
And I watched this little bluegrass fiddle band.
And they did James' song.
They did
Shut Up and Dance.
The girl sounded very scared. She sounded really scared. But The Regurgitator, I can definitely see how people think that is fake.
Wait, what do you mean fake?
It is.
Like that it's set up beforehand.
What? So, he swallows stuff. How... He put a pool ball in his mouth and swallowed it.
You can't do that. That's not possible.
Well, I think you need to test this. Swallow a hot
dog. Yeah, let's
swallow a french fry and see which one you can bring up first.
It very much says this guy, like, has been doing this his whole life, so don't even try this stuff at home. But, well, so with America's Got Talent, like, each act has to outdo their act previously.
Yeah.
So it's hard, like, if you start off, like, giving your everything... Because I've been watching Last Comic Standing, too, and it's the same thing. Like, because they're like, the second set, you're like, oh, it wasn't as funny as your first set. Or this act that you did.
They gotta outdo.
Yeah, and so, and it's interesting, right? Because you're trying to outdo yourself, but you're also trying to beat everybody else in the competition. And so is that kind of where Miley is? Like, is she just going to start doing, all stuff all nude all the time. Like, what, yeah, where do you go?
You've
from...
already set the bar so high, and then what can you do after you do all nude?
I don't know. You peel your skin off. I don't
know. Watch this. Yeah. But Terminator already did that. So.
Oh, true. So look how that turned out.
Yeah.
So that, like, I don't know, I just find it, like, that cultural, I have to do better, I have to be better, I have to do this. And we get into it with...
you get into, yeah, sorry, we get into this with even the podcast.
Right.
Because we're like, oh, this month's not doing as well, and then we go out and pay people to listen.
I know, we're live streaming right now, nobody's on our live stream.
But hey, if you want to get the podcast early, get on the live stream, people.
You can watch us.
Because you can get it live, all right, we don't edit anyway.
Nope.
But you can see our beautiful faces and yeah, you can know what we're talking about before we talk about it. And like, you can listen to it with a friend once it goes up and they'll think you can tell the future because you know what's happening.
Right.
So don't you want to be that guy?
The future is now. So.
Yes. What's that off of?
The future is now? I always just said that when I saw those like cool Coke machines at Walmart. So
I don't know cool Coke machines at Walmart.
But I would just run by and go, the future is now! And, like, hit all the buttons on it. So, okay, we've got a ton to talk about. The opening quote was from Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which I finally saw.
Yeah,
how was finally it? Saw it this weekend. It was fantastic. It was so good. It, like, I was excited. I was nervous. I laughed.
I cried.
I didn't cry, but I laughed. It was funny. It was good.
I mean, spoiler alert, when Tom Cruise almost dies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know how many times.
It's like every 5 minutes. Yeah, but he almost died. There was one he like almost, I was not expecting that. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, oh, good, maybe they're rebooting it. I did think there was a character that was going to die that didn't, though. There was one that was like, oh, this person's going to die. Like, several times I thought it was going to happen.
They didn't die.
And they didn't. So that was good, because it was a character I enjoyed. So.
Now, if you were watching James Bond, they would have died.
Yep. I did like the villain in Rogue Nation, because he was scary.
Yeah, he had the control.
He talked like this.
And you know what? He kind of reminded me of the last James Bond.
I'm going to take over the world.
Because he's like in control, and he's got all these set pieces.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but then the next James Bond is supposed to be about that, right? Spectre? It's like this group that nobody knows about, and it's...
Yeah, maybe that's why they brought it out early, because they're saying, hey, we already had the idea. They're just copying off of
it. What was Rogue Nation? What was they called? They were called Spectre, right?
No.
They were called... I don't know, the Thieves.
Anti-IMF.
Yeah. So, but so that quote, I like that quote, because he's saying... Join the IMF and see the world on a screen from a closet. So he thinks, like, so the IMF is the Impossible Missile Force. Have you seen, Ben, have you seen?
I've never seen a Mission Impossible movie.
What?
Wow. What?
And I can't really get to watch them now, because after the whole jumping on the couch thing, I can't see Tom Cruise.
Oh, no. He's one of those
You're
guys.
One of those. Just leave.
So after, so after Tom Cruise did his weird jump on the couch thing, you won't watch any of his movies?
Well, I never watched any before. What? But
so, okay.
But I'm just saying that's
so added, off, that's you're missing out half me. Of the... best movies ever made.
So you hate Tom Cruise.
Yeah, just
and then he jumped on a couch, so you gave like voice to your hate of why this is why I hate this guy.
He's just not Denzel Washington for me.
What has he brought out that's good lately?
Oh, that's true.
He did have The Equalizer.
Yeah, that was okay.
Good. That wasn't good.
It was okay. I'd go with Mill. He thinks it's great. You don't
Which
like
one?
It. Equalizer.
I don't remember if I saw it.
Oh. Well, I mean, it was rated a certain rating.
Yeah, I don't think... Wait, was that the, like, comedy one?
He
was
No, it was serious. He's like, he was The Equalizer.
He shot people?
Yeah. Well, you know, he comes from a past of, you know...
I don't know.
He's got this
special skills.
So, yeah. But this idea behind, like, I'm going to join this secret spy organization and be, like, get to do all these cool things like Tom Cruise does. And this,
yeah.
The guy that the quote is this, it's Simon Pegg, which he's very funny.
He's a techie.
Yeah. So he's like, thought he's going to this fancy opera. He gets there and finds out, like, oh, I'm just going to go... And sit in this closet
and watching
And so, but I just thought about that, like, with our worldview a lot of times, there's things that we think are going to bring us.
Like, if I buy this item, I'll be this person. Or if I do this, like if I take up this activity, I'll be this.
Yeah. This will help me in life. And I'll, like, you think it's going to be this great thing. And then you get it and you're like, oh. I thought this job was going to be so great. And like, it's still a job. Like, I'm still going to work.
I'm still thinking about that.
James right now on his job is putting stickers on paper. So
yeah, so I'm like a kid.
Let's see. Nobody's viewing this, but there he is.
Putting... See that? That's a really overblown white.
Whatever. All right. So, but I liked the movie, but like again, worldview stuff. Like what worldview did it promote, James? Like what was it? What was the underlying?
Well, and Mission Impossible, man, that's tough.
Well, I'd
obviously, say, the person in charge, the bad guys, they just want money to change the system because they don't think the system's right. It's corrupt.
They want to control everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we're going to break down the system. We have seen problems. But they don't go about it in the right way. They're like, hey, we don't care if we kill people in the process or what it costs. We're going to topple the system.
We're going to break it all down. So, yeah, and it's that idea of there's all these secrets, right? That like we're not really in any control. There's people controlling us and doing all this stuff behind the scenes. And they let us live our lives.
The Adjustment Bureau?
Yeah. Oh, that movie was really good. But like The Matrix, we think that everything's fine when really there's all this stuff behind the scenes and we just live these innocent lives doing our little stuff, putting our little stickers on our postcards and whatever.
I'm making money.
Sounds like The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. There's a lot of movies that explore that theme that you don't really know, like you're not really in control.
I'm in control.
But the Lord is in control. We have a segment on here, Ben, called Florida Foibles.
Yep.
You know that because, well, we just named it recently. So it's stuff that's weird that happens in Florida.
Yes.
And the reason why is because Florida has to, like, they have a law that they report everything. So, which is good for us because we can laugh.
It's a good thing we're in Indiana.
So here's the headline. Fighter arrested after found in freezer.
Man, that's a... So
it sounds like he gets like killed and is like placed in a freezer.
Yeah.
So, but the story was, so these guys are drinking at the Crazy Gator. Because like, if you go to Florida and you're going to drink, you might as well go to the Crazy Gator. So
yeah.
So they go outside and they realize, hey, you know what? We've been drinking, so we shouldn't drive, which is very smart.
Yep.
And so they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a cab.
Okay.
So they get a cab.
That's responsible.
And then, as they're like waiting for the cab, they get in an argument. I don't know what about. And one dude punches the other dude in the face. And he gets a bloody nose. And then somebody calls the cops, and they hear the police sirens. And so they run into the Crazy Gator.
Crazy.
And they jump in a freezer. Right. They jump in the big walk-in freezer, and they're hiding in there. And the police show up and like find this guy.
So only one gets arrested, though.
Yeah.
So why'd they both hide?
Well, because they're friends. And they're like, oh, man, I'm sorry, I should have punched you. And he didn't want the other guy to get in trouble. So they both ran and hid. And then they were fine again. They were friends again. But he's in jail.
But one's in jail.
He's got $50,000 bail.
Man, that's rough. It must have been some punch.
That's a punch in the face.
Well, if you're ever down in Florida, drive by and look at the Crazy Gator.
So, James, you and I are in an argument.
Yeah.
Have you ever been mad enough to punch somebody?
People I don't know. Not like people I've gotten into real arguments with, but maybe like, hey, you're a terrible person. I want to punch you.
Oh, gotcha.
Ben, oh, wait, no. There's people who do dumb stuff.
I don't know much about Ben's past. Ben, have you ever punched anybody?
One time.
Oh, what? Wait, what
was it?
What happened? Who was it? Can you tell us the story?
Well, I was in middle school.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go.
I don't remember what started it, but I remember my teacher walked out of the room and... one of the kids was saying something to me, and so I just reached across the desk and punched him in the face.
Whoa,
and that was it. That was like the end of it. She walked back in, and that was it.
Wait, but and you didn't get in trouble?
Not much story. Yeah.
Dude, you didn't get in trouble
for it? You punched him in the face.
So from then on...
That's not a bit of a hard punch.
This started Ben's life of punching people in the face. Yeah. He's like, I can get away with it.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Like, that's the thing, that's right? Awesome. Like, nobody's going to tell on you if you're just that guy that punches people in the face.
Yeah, I'm not going to mess with him.
Nobody's going to...
I don't want to mess with that guy.
All right. But, okay, so say James and I, you and I are, like, we're having an argument. James and I work together. So if I get mad and I punch you in the face...
You'd miss.
I'm like, oh. I'm that fast. Oh, yeah. So my fist is really fat. So I
mean, even hit you. Bounce off.
Like, misjudge. So then you're like, oh, man. And then I was like, and then I apologize.
I called the police.
And then we're friends again. And they're like... oh man, the police are coming. Let's go hide in a freezer. Like, drink.
First off, all of our freezers aren't big enough, so that'd be a tough time. Oh, here, get in this ice machine.
Yeah. Hey, so last week, you like mumbled something under your breath. I went back and listened to part of the show. You said the House of Cards is like my show that I like love to watch. I've only seen half of the first season. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I listened to you. I was like, wait, what? You say crazy stuff. I went back and listened.
He's not paying attention.
So I
send out secret messages.
I know. I was like, I don't watch that show.
It's part of the Illuminati.
The Illuminati. Okay. Oh, man, so
you mentioned that. It's not good.
So we're going to talk about several things on our show today. But I want to talk
about a lot. So give me a few. Well, Kanye for president. You know, we don't talk about politics enough in here. And we should. There's
a reason for that.
But, I mean, if Kanye's running in 2020, he said he'd run in 2020. Isn't that great? Like, aren't you happy now, Ben?
Well,
I mean,
Ben, I guess my quote would be, I hope the Lord comes back before then.
So wait, does he have a chance to win?
I would say no.
How many followers does he have?
Arnold Schwarzenegger won governor.
Yeah. That's so why couldn't Kanye win?
Jesse the Body Ventura, isn't he like the mayor of somewhere?
I don't know who that is.
He's a wrestler.
All right, let's look.
And who's the other guy that got into politics?
Not Kanye.
I don't know. There's like several celebrity people that get into politics because they have a following.
And how do they do?
Robin Williams won the presidency. Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't.
It was based on real life. He won the presidency because he was a comedian. No, but that's what they explored, that idea of... I don't even remember what it was called. I never saw it. But the idea was Did you see that movie? Where Robin Williams like won the president because he was a comedian, so people...
So wait, but he could win.
People voted for him.
Hey guys, vote
Robin
for
Williams. Robin Williams dead.
That doesn't mean you can't like write somebody in.
That's true. Mickey Mouse got voted last time.
For what?
He got two votes in the presidential
election.
So I wonder
which one's real. Huh, Kanye.
So Kanye's running for president.
365,000, probably not him.
So
he's got like a ton of different pages.
Yeah, because Kanye... So that's the thing, like you, James. You asked the question: how much do Christians care about public elections? Do politicians matter, or do we just say, you know, Jesus is our mayor, or Jesus is our president, or whatever, and leave it at that, and just let the politicians do their thing, but we're just going to follow Jesus? Or should politics matter? And like for students listening to this, don't tune out, because right now, like you got to start figuring out, like right now, your view on politics is mainly like what your parents believe. Like, if your parents don't like Obama, then you're not going to like Obama. If your parents are in love with Obama, you're like, he's the greatest. I don't know why people are so upset about him. It's not like he's going on Bear Grylls show and doing celebrity stunts. So, just kidding. We'll get to that in a minute. But, so there's all this stuff, right? That, like, right now, students that are listening, like, your politics are basically what your parents think.
Yep.
But you're going to, like, in the next few years, especially as you start to turn 18, you're going to have to start realizing, like, okay, I've got to figure out what I believe.
So you can vote.
So you can vote.
Unless you don't want to vote, which is actually not... You're not a very good citizen.
That's a sin. No, I'm just kidding.
But, it's against the law.
So is this a publicity stunt, or is Kanye really going to run for president?
Dude, I think he's going to run. I mean, look, I've already got a poster.
Oh, there you go.
Kanye West, 2020.
If I saw that poster, I'd vote for it. He's got
an American flag behind him, and he looks like he's super serious. And you never see him smile.
He's shooting guns.
He probably has guns.
In the back. Okay, so Kanye's running for president.
Yeah.
All right, is this our Pop Goals to Culture thing, or we're just talking about this?
Oh, we can...
All right, no, not yet. Bieber, okay. Justin Bieber.
He's back on track. He's got a WWJD bracelet.
So that means he's saved, right? If you wear a WWJD bracelet, you are following the Lord with all your heart.
Or if you got a WWJD tattoo.
Oh.
Yeah. So one of those two.
Ben has both.
Yeah, he's extra saved.
Ben, were you a WWJD guy? Did you wear WWJD bracelets?
Yeah, I had them in all different kinds of colors. Oh. I wear them all at the same time, so I was oversaved.
Oh, you were like a super witness.
Yeah.
It didn't help when he committed crimes and punched people in the face, though.
That's but true.
I was in high school when that fad started. So 98. If you don't know, is what would Jesus do is what it stands for. But I asked somebody, like, what does that mean? They're like, you really don't know? I was like, no. And they're like, well, I have to give it to you now. I was like, And then they told me what it meant, and I was like, okay, I'll wear it. So I had to wear it until somebody else asked me about it. So, So I didn't know that was the
thing. The rule.
That was the rule.
Did you ever have any of the other ones? They had like frog push and frog and.
Wait, what was push?
Pray until something happens.
Frog is fully relying on God.
Yeah. He is greater than I.
That's not an acronym.
Greater than me.
No, it was like letters that stand for something.
You're missing the point.
Yeah.
IMS. Yes.
Okay. So, but believer, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
So. Didn't see his first movie or anything. Okay. So, but in the first movie, like, he has a group of people that prays for him and does all this stuff. But then I think the celebrity got to him. Yeah. Like, being.
He's got tattoos of craziness.
Yeah.
Then he started going to Hillsong.
He goes to Hillsong in LA. Yeah.
He goes to a special Bible study. His favorite top song right now is a Bethel Music song.
What?
So maybe he's coming back.
Hey, here's a Hillsong correlation for you.
Uh-oh.
His girlfriend playing Selena Gomez has a cover of Hillsong's Oceans.
Wait, Selena Gomez does?
Yeah.
Has an Oceans cover?
Yes.
I gotta hear that.
I found that online because I heard that one of the celebrities that was big into church. And
what?
Gotta love that celebs big into church.
I thought Selena Gomez was going back the wrong way, but okay. So Justin Bieber
is back.
He's back.
He's a believer.
Christians can like him again. Yay!
Well, I don't know if you take that far. I'm just kidding.
But it's funny, right? Because I find myself doing this because I heard like Gary Busey became a Christian. I'm like, okay, I like him now. Like I don't know anything about him.
But if he's on board, if we're on the same team. Yeah. Hey, whoever's not against me is for me. Or he says it another way, whoever's for me can't be against me.
Yeah. But so, do Christians try to prop up Christian celebrities to give validity to what they believe?
Yeah, they do. So like, hey, look, it is real. It is true. Because this guy believes it.
Shia LaBeouf. That was like Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
I can't remember any of the other words. Yeah. Shia LaBeouf. So, you haven't heard that song, it's weird. I haven't watched the video before, but...
Shia LaBeouf.
So, Shia LaBeouf apparently is a Christian, but he cusses a lot, and people are like, oh, he cusses.
Yeah.
And then there's... we don't have any viewers. I should just stop the live stream. Nope. I'm going to go through with it.
Yeah, we have to.
But yeah, so Shia LaBeouf, and then Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. Like, he goes to church, and then...
He does.
Like, and, what...
Angelina Jolie. Denzel Washington.
Denzel's
there's lots of people.
But Matthew McConaughey, they asked if he like believed in the resurrection or something. Like this was a Rolling Stone magazine, I think, and they're like asking him like, do you believe that like Jesus really came back to life or whatever? And he's like, it's a heaven of a story, isn't it? Like that was his line. So he didn't deny it, but he did because I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but in Hollywood, like, if you're a Christian, like, it's harder to get work, it's harder to do certain things, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, the whole culture is very turned off to it.
It'd be interesting. I mean, maybe Matthew McConaughey would come on our show one time and talk about being a Christian.
He probably will be on one of the future episodes, so, guys.
So, hey, write Matthew McConaughey and tell him you want him to come on our show. No, I would love to talk to a celebrity, a Christian celebrity, like, how do you, like, decide what roles you pick? Like, how do you decide, like, okay, I'm going to say all this language, or I'm going to be in this scene?
He'd probably double his followers if he gets on the show, I think.
At least.
Yeah.
At least double. Maybe triple.
From our one viewer.
No, we're not talking about online.
Ben, why don't you shut up? Ben,
man.
Okay,
you're on the show.
So I want to talk about this with the Christian movie thing. So,
yes.
Because the Christian celebrity, we're like, oh, they're a Christian celebrity. Yay. They're
What was the recent one, Left Behind? We had a big actor in that.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage. We're like, yeah, it's going to be great.
Or Gods and Pharaohs or whatever, Exodus.
Yeah, Exodus.
With Gods and... Not Gods and Monsters. That's something different. Gods and Kings.
It had Christian Bale,
Yeah, Christian Bale. And then we had Noah with that Australian guy and Hermione Granger. I know, she did some wizarding stuff. And like,
man, you were really not helping the show out.
Emma Watson, that's her name.
Russell Crowe. Gosh, where are you today?
Sorry. Okay.
So people think we don't know what we're talking
about. He's not coming on the show.
Russell Crowe loves us.
Not anymore.
Emma Watson's a big fan. Thanks to Emma Watson for listening. I didn't know what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. So the Christian movie thing is kind of like...
Yeah.
But those movies, the Exodus one and the Noah one, were secular. And they tried to like put other stuff in it and like bring in other text and stuff and like made it weird. So the Christians didn't really go see it.
No.
And they kind of like portrayed God in more of a... angry fashion.
Yeah, and he's gonna wipe you out, but the fallen angels are all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So this new movie came out this weekend.
Yeah.
The War Room.
Yeah.
So this is kind of
that sounds like super awesome.
It sounds like it's time for Goes the Culture. So no, because so the box office this week, Straight Outta Compton still number one. But number two was the war room.
Yeah, and but, I didn't know anything about
this. I looked at the war room. I don't know.
What is that?
So it's by the same people that did Facing the Giants and Courageous and Fireproof.
They can only get better.
They get, well, yeah, so this debuted at number 2 in the box office.
That's pretty good.
Which, so according to Plugged In, is even more crazy because they didn't show it as many theaters. So they made basically, their per screen average was a whopping $9,692, more than doubling Compton's average take, and coming in 10 times higher than We Are Your Friends, which is that new Zac Efron movie about him being a DJ. Like, what? Because my wife and I went to see a movie this weekend, and we have in our town, it's called the Royal Suite. It's like a theater that you can eat dinner at and like get in a recliner chair. Have you been in that?
Dude, I thought that was awesome.
No, you like order food there. But we didn't go to that one. I wanted to, but they were showing like We Are Your Friends or whatever. I was like, what is this movie? I looked up, like, Zac Efron's a DJ? Like, what? Why would they?
Speaking of Zac Efron, he's our next Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, that one.
So. All right, good job, Zac Efron. Then there was also another big movie with Pierce Brosnan or whatever you say, and Owen Wilson.
Brosnan, yeah.
Owen Wilson's famous for his role
Bottle
in
Rocket, Wedding Crashers.
No, Night at the Museum.
I think he's more famous than like.
I'm just kidding. Wedding Crashers. Zoolander and all that stuff. So Owen Wilson. So he had a big movie, but it came in third. So this
that made nothing.
This Christian movie came in second place. It wasn't that many theaters.
Yeah.
And it, like, did really well at the box office, which is really good.
So what's this one about?
It's about prayer. I tried to figure it out. I don't even know.
Oh, but man. It did really well. You should go watch it with your family.
Go watch
the
family
That's
movie.
The one we can endorse, right? Since it's a Christian film.
Yeah, because
all Christian. PG.
It's got 4.5 plugged ins. What does that even mean?
That's the content rating, so it's like, it's okay.
It's really good.
It's okay. There's a little bit of...
Lots of spiritual content. Man, that's a really long session.
Yeah, spiritual content. Well, yeah, because it's a
Christian
spiritual
movie.
So, but yeah, it's just about prayer and like why prayer is important.
Tell us, Chris, why is prayer important?
Because prayer changes things. Oh, Yannick.
Yeah.
Prayer is important. Because it's our communication with God, and so we get to talk to him and stuff. And so, so I don't know. Like, I haven't seen this one yet, so I can't really. But I don't know if it follows the typical Christian movie tropes, which like there's a horrible, like there's like 10 horrible situations, and then people that believe Jesus, everything goes well for them, and those that don't. They die. And then at the last second, they ask
Jesus.
Yeah,
so it's like, happy for everyone.
That's how it always works out.
God's not dead. Hashtag.
Yeah, but there's a...
There's some violence and some sexuality, it looked like.
Oh, yeah. Well, because a guy's going to cheat on his wife, but then...
Don't do it, guys.
She prays that it won't happen, and he starts throwing up. Spoiler alert.
Ironically.
So, the war room, more like the barf room. So, I'm glad that, like... So, what I think this shows is that there's a market for this. And I think they've tried to reach that market by doing the Noah and Exodus, but they don't because they're not making it overtly Christian. Like, it's not, like, they're kind of, it's loosely based on a true story. Yeah. Like, what? So, or like, based on true events. That one's even more funny because it's like, based on true events, like, what does that even mean? Like, oh, yeah, once this might have happened, it's sort of a true event.
So,
what?
That came in number two.
Number three was the Owen Wilson movie.
Yeah.
It's about him, like, escaping with his family. It looks pretty intense, though. Like, they're in
it's
another
like
country. And, like,
at the gates of the state.
Okay, is Owen Wilson a good action movie guy?
No.
Exactly. Okay. But this, I don't know that this is necessarily an action movie. More like, they're just trying to escape.
Yeah.
And it says it's more realistic. Family, because, he's just, like, a guy. Like, he doesn't know how to really use guns or do anything. Like, he's just kind of trying to get away.
I know how to use guns.
Yeah, you do. James, you went shooting this weekend. I saw a picture of you.
I know. I was out. I shot 3 different weapons. I love shooting, by the way. You can take out my aggression on the targets.
Whoa.
Right? I know.
Why do you go to Target and shoot guns? Yeah, Ben punches you. James shoots you.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to shoot a couple guns. We broke a gun.
How do you break a gun?
It wasn't me. It was an AR, and something happened with the bolt action piece. I don't even know. I don't know pieces to guns. I just know how to load them.
I just know how to
and to point them the right way at the targets. And you should wear the proper gear. Never point at anybody. Always assume a gun's loaded. And different things like that. Make sure your trigger finger is off the trigger. Make sure the safety's not on. I mean, the safety is on.
Yeah, whoa.
Let's see what else. You should have a trained supervisor around you at all times. Somebody who knows what they're doing until you become, like, good enough. And, yeah, so keep it out of reach of kids. All these safety concerns. So, yeah, they definitely, because guns are dangerous, but I got a bullseye. Whoa. I shot a root beer can. It blew up. Yeah, how fun is that?
Was it full of explosives?
That wasn't. But so we went out, and there was four of us, and two people brought a pack of root beer. And I was like, that's weird for two people. I mean, there's only, you know, because I guess some people drink the other type of beer. But I was thinking, hey, we're like Christian shooting, so we drink root beer. And I got some cans. You're
shooting Jesus bullets.
I know, right?
Christian shooting.
So we did write little crosses on all the bullets. It didn't make us feel good. WWJD. And so I'm like, man, WWJS. I wonder what this is. These people must really like root beer.
Who would Jesus shoot?
He did tell his disciples to get swords.
Okay.
So,
Sword Mart.
Yeah, Sword Mart.
All right. So you're out shooting.
So we're out shooting and we go. And then we like, you know, there's some other people there. And they're like, hey, cold range or something like that. I don't even know what they said. But basically, it's don't shoot because we're going down range and you don't want to get shot. So I'm going down. I'm still thinking they're shooting because there's a couple different ranges. And you just hear guns. I'm like, oh, man.
What?
They're shooting at us.
I wouldn't go down there.
Right? And so I pulled my gun and shot back. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, no shooting at people. So we put the cans out. And I was like, what's going to happen? And they're like, oh, we're going to shoot them. And they actually explode. And they're really cool. Not in a bad way. It's just they're pressurized because they've got carbonation. And so we did that. And I took a revolver, a Magnum 357, I think. I'm pretty good with that. I did a quick shoot. Bah, bah, bah. No, I didn't. Those things are powerful. I think it'd probably come out of my hand if I only had one hand on it. But I aimed down range about 20 yards, 25 yards, and nailed that can. Two shots. Took me two shots to hit it. That was pretty cool. It just exploded. And I was like, man, that root beer is wasted. I felt bad. I was like, if we're going to shoot at something, let's shoot at Diet Coke or something, you know? But no, they got root beer.
Yeah, but was it Dad's root beer? Or was it like...
No, it was... AW.
Why would you shoot AW?
Yeah.
Shoot it like
I was really
Marty's
sad.
Backyard or root beer.
Yeah, so that's what we did. It was fun. Broke guns, shot guns. It was fun. I can see why people like shooting weapons.
I can see why people like destruction.
Yeah, you know, it's like Call of Duty real life, but on the range.
So, speaking of surviving out in the wild.
Yes.
With guns.
Yeah, no. Sometimes you don't have guns in the wild to survive, though.
I also got to watch Bear Grylls shows, which I do like the island quite a bit.
Bill Grylls.
I still got...
Now, Ben called him something different earlier.
Yeah, Ben, what did you say his name was?
Well, I said Bear Grylls, and you thought I said Bear Gorillas.
So Bear Gorillas.
Man, that's a great name, Bear Gorillas.
Yeah, so, I mean, he has to be a survivalist if he's called that. I mean, what else can he be? Can you imagine? Hey, here's the CEO of... Of Apple, Bear Gorillas.
No. I think like maybe, Gorilla fits because Apple, if it's the head of bananas, I don't know.
Banana Republic.
Bear Gorillas. Yeah, I would be like,
Now I think Gander Mountain. Hey, here's Bear Gorillas. He's the CEO of Gander Mountain.
What would be the worst job for Bear Gorillas?
Man.
Librarian.
Yeah, hey. Here's our librarian, Bear Gorillas.
Like, get out!
How about like a teacher, a kindergarten teacher?
Oh, yeah. I would hate that. Well,
I'd be like, I don't know if I trust
Mr.
You.
Gorillas? I'd be like, oh, this might be a fun teacher. And then he comes in and eats me like, ah, bear.
How about a pastor?
Pastor Bear.
Pastor Gorillas.
Pastor right? Gorillas.
You're like, I don't know.
All right. So, anyways.
We bring him up for a reason.
He has a show.
He does. It's called Into the Wild.
Running Wild.
Yeah, that one. That's a different one. Okay, so Running Wild, but this one's special because he is having a special guest, a special celebrity.
Well, the idea behind that show is...
He has celebrities.
Yeah, starring... So, like, I saw Channing Tatum was on there a couple weeks ago.
Really?
There's a girl, I forgot her name, but they have different people
and they
out there in the wild
the
with them. Yeah. And so who's going to be on there?
President Brahma, Barack Obama.
President Barama.
Yeah. Oh, man,
James. Nickname. You didn't know that?
We need to talk more about politics.
Barama guy. Barama. So, no, he's going to be on. So, you brought up some stuff. You're like, this isn't going to be real.
Okay, yeah.
Because you have a problem with it. So, you think it's going to be fake because...
All right, so, hold on. So, the island, James is like, oh, it's fake, where they get the camera back. So, the island was, the premise was they just throw 14 guys on an island, they have to survive.
Yeah.
So, I find out that there was some stuff that they put like an extra pig on the island, they put water cachets. They put bear gorillas. they just let like a mongoose lose and they ate half the camp. Yeah. No, but there's stuff they put on the island so that they could survive better. Yes. And I don't know if they knew that was going to happen. I don't know. But so... So there's always people that are like, oh, these shows are fake. They're not really surviving. There's stuff to help them out.
I say that about all your shows.
So, yeah, so...
it's reality TV. How real is real?
Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Yeah, because was The Rock on there? Or there's somebody on there that you're like, this is a really famous person. Have you ever seen the show, Ben?
I watched Naked and Afraid. We went over.
Why do you watch that show?
It's a good show.
It's the same thing.
But they don't plant
stuff. But they're naked.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Are they really afraid? I don't know.
More than watching Miley Cyrus.
I don't watch Miley Cyrus.
Well, this is educational.
Yeah, is it? So Naked and Afraid, it's one of those survival shows. They just drop people off and they're like, you don't have anything. You're just completely naked. You got to survive. So with Bear Grylls show, though, like he takes these celebrities and they go like climb rocks or do different stuff. So
climb rocks. Yeah, man, this is tough. Let's get over this boulder.
Like, no, that's enough. They were like rappelling down and they had to like hook it on and all this stuff. And I was like, there's got to be...
They probably trained him some.
Yeah, so...
All right, so you have a problem with President Barama.
Yeah, Barama, because they're not going to let him... Like, you know there's going to be like 40 Secret Service guys around. Like, they'll maybe be off camera.
They can't
like,
even
right behind.
Let him, like, trip. They like probably clear the path in front of him.
Yeah, so
what's he gonna do? There's a wild animal. They're gonna shoot that. Maybe some squirrels.
He's the leader of the free world. They're not gonna just be like, oh yeah, he can rappel down this 500-foot rock
face. No,
he's
gotta hook in. He's actually hooked up to two Secret Service at all time.
What if the whole time it's a stunt double, but it's just like a really bad stunt double? It's got like a really big fro, or he's got
that would be hilarious.
He's white.
You know you vote
like,
for him again.
He's like, oh, is that Barack Obama? He's like, oh yeah, it's me, Barack Gorillas. But so I just like look at him. I'm like, what? Like what is he gonna do? They're not gonna do anything like real crazy.
They'll go camping. Like maybe, you know, roast some hot dogs.
Like, hey, at all times I can call a Secret Service guy and bring us some.
They'll probably make fun of that. How much you want to bet that they will point that out in the show?
Maybe.
They got to. I think they will. I'll be like, hey,
I don't watch that show.
Since I'm the world leader of the free world, I have these guys follow me around. And they've got M4s and night vision goggles. And there's a couple of drones overhead along with some Apaches. And half a platoon.
So I don't know, like, why... So Obama's like, he's going out to Alaska. Yeah. And that's where we're going to film the show.
They just renamed a mountain.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
McKinley, right?
Yeah, it was McKinley.
And now they named it President's Mountain. President Barama.
Barama. They just call it Barama Mountain.
Barama Gorilla Mountain.
Yeah. Gorillas.
Gorillas Mountain.
Bear Gorillas.
Bear Gorillas. Okay. So, wait, all right, so that's going on, and then the War Room movie, though.
Yeah.
So going back to that, sorry, yes. I completely
okay.
Okay.
I know, right?
So we talk about Christian movies on here that they're not
good,
done that well sometimes.
Yeah, they're cheesy.
So do Christian movies do well because they're Christian movies, or do they do well because people like the inspiration?
Christian movies usually do well.
No, but this one did.
Yeah. So this is one out of
well,
if one
we
out
talked
of
last
thousand,
week, this is the slump.
Yeah,
year,
there's nothing to choose.
So one about 1,000,
and all the kids are in school, so all their parents are going.
Yeah, but these people have made a name for themselves for making like pretty decent as far as
Christian sin
as
goes.
As far as Christian, and every single
movie they brought out has gotten better than the one before it. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty consistent. And so this one seems to follow. What does it say on Rotten Tomatoes? Probably going to be low. You know it's going to be low.
Yeah, because they're
like, ah, oh, this is terrible.
Terrible.
I saw this coming from a mile away. War Room, so, yep.
27%.
Now let's compare it with the other ones, though.
That's better than some other stuff. So, but War Room, so should we allow culture to tell us what's good and what's not when it comes to movies? So we're like, oh, 27%, I'm not going to go see it. So one guy says, the top critic says, by far the most slickly produced and insistently evangelical movie yet from the sibling team of Alex and Stephen Kendrick.
That's from Variety.
But then you got much of what follows is turgid. Turgid? I don't even know how to say that. And for non-believers, ridiculous.
So there you go. That's the big thing. It's, if you're a non-believer, you're not going to like this. Now, their last film, Courageous, got a 30%.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not so much the plot or themes of the film that's the problem as the ham-fisted execution. So the first couple of acts of Kendrick's latest War Room are so heavy on broad pulpit pounding that it's challenging to get swept away by the story's message. The message is strong, but the movie is weak. Some of the good ones, though, occasionally preachy and oversimplified, yet captivating, tender, and heartfelt. It can lead to many interesting discussions and can give, if you open your mind and heart to it and forgive its preachiness, Karen Abercrombie gives an emotionally radiant performance. So there's some good stuff to be said about it, but I think it just... I don't know. If it says it's bad for non-Christians to see, what's the point of making a Christian movie? Is it to reach Christians or is it to reach people that don't believe in Jesus?
I think they're making it for the Christian scene.
So is that because that's what Christian music has become? Like Christian music, who goes to Christian concerts? Christians,
and that's why, a Hillsong.
Yeah, then Justin Bieber's there.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, he's got the WWJD Bears. He loves.
But that was after he went to Hillsong.
Oh man.
See.
Well, there are different bands like farther both sides, rock and Christian, that people go to that they don't know they're Christian.
That's true.
Like Skillet, but they kind of.
But
they don't necessarily.
But we've got Christian a church. Band, but they don't necessarily. We have a church here in town. Yeah. We have a church here in town. One Life. It's a great church. I love it. But one of their things that they're known for is we're going to play a secular song, and then we'll have some Christian songs.
Yeah.
And that's how they draw people in.
That's true.
So, yeah.
So, but that, so the frustrating thing about the whole Christian, I guess, subculture or whatever, is that a lot of the stuff that Christians do and make is for Christians.
Yeah.
Whereas before, back with Da Vinci and Michelangelo and all those people, they would paint and they would make great works of art. For art, the sake of art, but it was Christian in its themes, and they were Christian people doing this, and it exemplified and glorified God. Whereas the stuff today is more like it's not as good, it's not as well done, I would say. And so it's just kind of we settle for it because it's Christian, and we're like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's a Christian movie. I'm gonna go support it because I'm a Christian. And if I don't support it, then other Christian movies aren't gonna get made. And now I know there's stories that happen, and Kevin Zarbo or whatever, the guy that was in God's Not Dead, talked about how he met a lady that changed her faith. Like, she was a Muslim and saw that movie and was like, I need to follow Christ. Yeah. And changed her life around. And so I know good can come out of it. And so if you say, well, one person got changed, is it worth it? Well, yeah. But why can't we do it with excellence?
What about sermons? What about all that sort of stuff? Who are we gearing our sermons at? What about church as a whole?
Yeah.
Is it for the believer or the non-believer? And what was it intended? Or do we get that mixed up?
It was intended for the believer.
Yeah. So then why shouldn't you preach as if you're preaching to the believer? Why even worry about the non-believer? Why have we... Some people would say we've compromised.
By preaching to non-believers?
Yeah, and we have failed to evangelize.
Evangelical, yeah. I get what you're saying. But, so, because the idea is the church is to go out and be Christ to the world around us. It's not just to be, oh, we go to church, we have our subculture, we're going to stay in our subculture.
Yeah.
I drink Christian Coke.
Dude, I do.
Christy Cola. I eat only Christian beef jerky.
A breadcrumb and fish.
Abercrombie and fish. Yeah. I only eat Christian cereal that's made from whole grains from the Old Testament. But it's that idea, right? That I can get so ingrained in my culture, whole grains, that I cease to be relevant to the culture around me. And that's a big reason why we have this podcast, because we want you to be able to have conversations with your friends about the movies they watch and the books that they read and the music they listen to. And yes, you're going to listen to some of that, but there's going to be some stuff that you're going to start listening to and be like, you know what? I don't know that if I follow Christ, I should listen to this or watch this. last night on Netflix, I was watching some comedians. The first one I watched, and it was pretty funny. The second guy that I started watching, I was like, you know what? This isn't that appropriate. The other guy cussed.
Yeah.
And I it's stupid to me, like, the comedians do that, but for some reason they think it's funny. But the second guy, like, not only cussed, but he was pretty profane about some of the stuff he's talking about. I was like, you know what? I don't need to listen to this guy. Like, yeah, he's funny, and yeah, he's got some pretty interesting takes on life, but I don't need to fill my mind with that. And so I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff that, like, you need to be able to engage with culture, but you don't have to take everything in. There's some stuff that you just need to be like, you know what? That's not for me.
Yeah.
I can engage in a conversation with you or whatever. But I want to talk about something a little bit controversial, especially in the Christian world. Harry Potter.
Ooh.
So I
wonder if Faith is listening.
Faith is my cousin that hates Harry Potter.
Your ongoing debate now.
She's never watched it. So
you aren't a Christian. That's what I found out. Whenever you guys argue, I'm like, I don't think Chris likes Jesus. He is getting pummeled right now.
So did you read the Harry Potter books or watch the movies? You haven't even watched Mission Impossible.
I've watched all the Harry Potter
movies.
What? You watched all the Harry Potter movies.
Sinner!
Mission Impossible. Get out.
Who
invited you here? So you did that. Have you read the books?
This is a tough question.
Hesitation.
I have had the books read. Some of the books read to me.
He actually doesn't know how to read. You're making him feel terrible.
Okay.
We're sorry, Ben.
Ben can't read. But he stops by kids' classrooms and like listens to people read the book.
And they get snacked.
Are you in fifth grade?
Harry Potter in kindergarten.
So you so somebody's read the books to you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
See, man, you and James both, you like say things. I'm like, I just have more questions about. So, wait, is it a book on tape or like you have a friend that's reading them to you?
I will not reveal who read them to me.
But it is somebody like real life person.
Yes, real life.
So you're like, you guys sitting around, you're like, hey, you know what? Like, let's go see a movie. Let's go like play putt-putt. Let's catch a TV show. Let's binge watch some Netflix. You're like, no, I got a better idea. Why don't you read Harry Potter to me? Like, what?
He's got weird things he likes, and that's one of them.
Hey, guys. No, my wife and I read books out loud.
Yeah, she reads books to you, too.
We haven't done it in a while. Not really since we had kids, but...
That's weird. So basically, she doesn't read books to you anymore since you had kids. That's when
she reads books to our kids. Yeah,
we read books. You're still there.
Yeah, but we're not reading, like bigger books.
Why does this feel weird
to me? We read the Phantom Toll Booth.
You speak of weird... I think you're weird.
What? I'm weird because we read books to our kids.
Is it bonding time?
Oh, so it's probably a lady. Oh, man.
The ladies.
If you're watching on the...
So, ladies, if you want a man, just read a book to him.
Read some Harry Potter to him. Okay, so anyways, I started reading this new book called The Iron Trial. It's book one in the Magisterium series, whatever. So, but it deals with magic. So, here's the thing. Like, any book about magic now, I'm like, I can't not compare it to Harry Potter. Oh. So, the similarities, I'll just get the similarities out of the way. It's two guys and one girl that are, like, best friends. They go to this magic school. Like, they're not friends until they get to the school.
Yeah.
The other two, like, know about the school, know about the stuff. The main character doesn't know anything about it. He's got some special thing about him that some people know and some people don't, but they won't tell him. And so it's like, is this just like, very similar. The main bad guy is trying to like defeat death so he doesn't have to die. And like this is really similar. But then there's stuff that's really good. But one of the things that came up in the book is the idea of soul. Because it was talked about like, and this came up in the Harry Potter stuff too, but it's like what makes you you?
Yeah.
So if you have a soul, does that like is your soul you or is your body you, like
what makes you
can you
do?
Separate your soul from your body that I guess and that's what they try to do in Harry Potter as well, but it's like it's that idea of personhood. What makes, like, if you separate the soul from the body, is the body just a zombie and it has no thought or will or anything because it's just a body?
You just go by basic instinct.
Yeah. And can you separate body from soul? Which I don't think you can. I mean, at death, yes, but like when you're alive, I don't think you can. Yet. No, I don't know. Ben, can you separate your soul and body? You think it'll happen someday? You think science will figure it out?
Maybe if Kanye gets elected president.
Kanye would be like, hey, yeah. My research, all my money's going to go towards this. But, because I was thinking about this with, like, as it deals with truth, because we're talking about worldview stuff.
Yeah. So this podcast is all about
worldview,
helping you navigate the world and find a good worldview.
Yeah. And, I mean, our worldview, we follow Jesus, and so the way we view things and see things and read things is through the lens of his truth. And so I was thinking about that, because the whole soul debate, right, is like,
yeah.
Okay, because as followers of Christ, we want people's, the language, I don't like this language, is like, oh, save your soul. Like, you want your soul to be saved, right? Like, because there's some people like, oh, the body doesn't matter, but Jesus says your body's a living temple. Like, oh, Paul said that, but your body's a temple. Like, you carry Christ with you. And so I don't think you can separate your soul from your body while you're still alive. When you die, your soul lives on or whatever. But so it was, so I'm reading this book, The Grace and Truth Paradox, which everybody should read. It's by Randy Alcorn. It was written a while ago, but he talks about truth. He says this: you and I can discover truth, but we cannot create it. What's true is true, and what's not is not, for all of us, all the time. Our culture views truth as something inside us. So this is where the worldview comes in. So our culture views truth as something inside of us, subject to revision according to our growth and enlightenment. Scripture views truth as something outside us, which we can believe or not, but can never sway. So that's Randy Alcorn from The Grace and Truth Paradox. But that's, I really like that. Yeah, because I was thinking about this, because there's some comedians that talk about, like, Pluto being a planet or whatever. And
yeah.
Nate Bargatze, like, he's this comedian, but he talked about Pluto being a planet, and then scientists was like, ah, no, it's not a planet. He's like, who do we check with? Like, the scientists, he's like, probably the first thing to do is they have to date how old beetles are. And he's like, at one point, he's like, they're like, oh, they're 3 million years old. He's like, then they come back, he's like, now they're 6 million years old, or maybe a billion. And he's like, oh, who got fired? He's like, what do you mean who got fired? And he's like, well, if somebody's off by 3 billion years, somebody's going to get fired for that. Yeah. That's a big mistake. And so, but he talked about that, like, where there's no, like, they find out new stuff. And yeah. So that truth, I mean, that's in quotes for those of you not watching on the live stream, right, that truth becomes relative, right? And that's the big thing. Like, is truth relative? Like, does truth change over time? And according to Randy Alcorn, and I believe him, I mean, I agree with him, that truth is outside of us.
Yeah.
Like, we don't decide what's true.
Yeah.
We can choose what we believe.
So we discover it as we go.
Yeah, we discover the truth around us, but truth is set.
So truth is not relative.
No.
Or subjective.
Nope. Okay. But then you get, like, I don't know. Ben, do you disagree? Oh, Ben. Oh, okay. What do you say? What? All right.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
It's okay. A
deep quote.
It is. So, yeah. So if truth, but yeah, so our culture, I'll read that part again because I like that part. Because he says that our culture views truth as something inside us, subject to revision according to our growth and enlightenment. And this is, so I've read books, like, recently, the big thing is story, right? Like, this is my story. This is what, I believe this way because this happened to me. These events happened to me, and you can't deny my story, right? Yeah. But if my story leads me to believe a truth that's not really true, then I made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Like, even though my experience tells me otherwise, it's not true. It's just my experience and how I view it.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to answer that. So one of our pastors yesterday spoke about our view of God. Mm-hmm. And he said a lot of times our view of God is in our brain, but what we think of God isn't really God. Like, it's just of what we think God should be like.
Yeah.
Or, oh, God should do this in this circumstance. And then when he doesn't do that, we get mad, not at God, but our view of God. And I kind of, like, that quote is kind of similar to that. Like, it's this idea of, I don't know, I mean, it's this idea of, like, God is not really who we think he is. Like, he's so much bigger than what we think. And then when our truth, I'm going to put that in quotes, when, like, we discover something that goes against that belief of what we have in our minds of who God is, then, like, we start to have doubts, right? But it's because we've been believing falsely.
Yeah.
And so we have to, like, get back in line. Okay, am I going to follow this truth, or am I going to just do what I want and still believe what I know to be false now? Yeah. Yeah,
what I want to believe.
So.
Oh, no. That's, I mean, every person has to answer that themselves. So. And that's, I think that's what life
Wait.
Is.
Wait. No, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, you got to be like, okay, how am I going to live my life? I mean, that's the whole point of worldview, is trying to inform you of which is the correct path to take. And so for my Christian worldview, I'm going to take a certain path because I know that these truths. Now, if something comes along the way that adds to the worldview or subtracts, I mean, that's why some people will take on certain faiths because, okay, they've been raised a certain way and then they have something added. And if their worldview cannot bring that that thing, if they can't add it to what they currently believe, then they might throw out their old worldview and make a new worldview with the new information they've gotten.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, as we start to discover new things, I mean, how do we react? And so, I mean, that's what our podcast is all about, is navigating this. It's not like, hey, you've discovered all the truth. Okay, God still put a lot of truth out there to discover. But when you come into contact with a new truth that you know is a truth, do you let it inform your current worldview, or do you continue to say, no, I'm going to do what I want?
Yeah, so that's what, I mean, when Jesus, he says, I am the way,
yeah,
and the truth and the life. And so this is another quote from Randy Alcorn. He says, he didn't say he should show the truth or teach the truth or model the truth. He is the truth, truth personified. He's the source of truth and the reference point for evaluating all truth claims. That's why if we get it wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what else we get right. So he said, if Jesus is truth, and we read about him from the scripture,
but we reject him,
yeah,
then the rest of your life is meaningless.
Oh, that's a huge statement. But I mean,
that's what I believe. That's what we believe. If Jesus is who he says he is, then everything depends on that. Depends on him. If that's true, then everything he said matters. And whether we reject a truth he gives us or not, that's going to affect our lives, ultimately.
Yeah.
So
hey, man, that's good. That was some good stuff right there. So you're not going to discover truth without searching for it. Like, it's not just going to be like, oh yeah, I mean, you're being fed truth. I'm putting that in quotes. It's not really truth, but like other people's truth. And we talked about that, like with the products you buy, with the commercials you see, with the movies you watch, the music you listen to, there's some kind of truth that they're trying to get you to believe.
Yeah.
And it's not true, but I mean, they're trying to get you to believe something about the world around you. And so everything has a worldview.
Yes. Everything's pushing a message.
Yeah.
Everything believes, hey, this is the most important thing. And this is what you need to base your life off of.
Right. And so
Coke is happiness in a bottle.
Nature Valley is don't play video games.
Yeah. McDonald's is I'm loving it.
Hey.
Yeah. What are you going to do when you come into contact with something
that goes against your truth?
Yeah.
Is it going to make your truth stronger because you're going to search for what's really true?
Yeah. Are you going to legitimately, like, because there's some things that people can push and say, well, this is true. Are you going to explore it? Are you going to test it? Because that's something that you have to do. I think when Jesus showed up on the scene, the people he went up and butted heads against was the religious people, right?
Yeah.
And so they weren't willing to evaluate the truth, the newer enlightened, like the more full truth that he was bringing them. They just rejected it right out. And so they kept on living a certain way, and they rejected the Messiah.
And it wasn't a secret truth. It wasn't like a secret thing.
He made it obvious. I'm here. I'm doing this in the open. I'm showing you. I'm using the Bible. I'm even using the scriptures that you guys use, but you have closed your minds off to me, and you have not let this truth that now I'm giving you inform your worldview. You're staying with your closed-mindedness.
Yeah. And so go out and search for the truth. I'd start with the Bible.
Yeah, I would too.
But I mean, go out and search for it. Don't just ignore it because you're not. It's not going to just come smack you upside the face. I hope it does. But
yeah.
All right.
And one other thing. I mean, we're humans, and so we're only capable of knowing and processing so much information. If you've ever noticed how you get overloaded with information, if somebody gives you too much, you get overloaded because you're human. Your brain only has so much capacity to just be able to process so much. Okay? And so don't get discouraged if you're like, well, I want to know everything now, and you can't, or you don't understand everything in the moment. Again, life is a process, and God reveals truth as he wills it.
Yeah. So, Man, thanks for saying that. So, Ben, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, Ben. Dude, look at that. He talked like 1,000 times more than last time. Yeah.
So,
and I'm just like looking at his shirt. And what is that, a turkey? He's got an HCO shirt on, but I'm pretty sure it's a turkey.
HCO? What,
what is that? I don't even know. That's not...
Anyways. All right.
Anyways.
So, hey, thanks for joining us for Podcast Viewfinder episode 20 dose.
I don't know about you.
Feeling 22. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Magic.
Podcast Viewfinder.